Oh, yeah. We believe in grandmas and grandpas, right? Yeah, love them. Okay, we're going to read one verse of scripture right now. If you would turn to Ephesians chapter 6 and look at verse 18, we'll read this verse. How many of y'all were here last Sunday morning? Enjoyed that message, didn't you? Spiritual warfare? Well, I believe it was right here in Ephesians 6, wasn't it? Oh, he went through the first five chapters, up to 6. Oh, okay, well, I thought he was in 6. Anyway, 6 has to do with that spiritual warfare too. But I want to take you down to verse 18, because verse 18 is after the things that he puts on for warfare. Verse 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. First two words in that verse is what? Praying always. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. I want you to ask the Lord to calm your mind and your heart and your very soul today, so that you can listen to what he's got for us, because he has a bundle here for us today. He does. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the time of prayer. We thank you, Lord, that we have not only the command to pray always, but Lord, we have the opportunity and the privilege to pray always. And I just pray today that every one of us leaves here today with a renewed experience of prayer, with a renewed vision of what prayer can do in our own personal lives and in the life of Liberty Fellowship Church and anyone else who is living for you. If they come to this light of how important it is for us to realize prayer in our lives, God, we're just so grateful today that you're giving us this today. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I received a little gift a few weeks back from a young lady who actually visited our church here, and she lived in Texas, and she gave me a book of all the hymns from the 1800s, 1700s, the old hymns, and it gives you the history of those. And when this particular song came up, I happened to look it up in that book to see what all it said about it. And I want to share this with you because I want to tie in what happened in 1845 with today. The reason God used a man in 1845 was so that you and I in 2020 could sing the song that God gave him in 1845. You see, God never does anything temporarily. This song will go on into eternity with us. And here's what it says about Sweet Hour of Prayer. The poem Sweet Hour of Prayer was written by a blind clergyman named Walford from England in 1842. It appeared in the United States of America in the New York Observer in 1845. In 1861, William Bradbury contributed to the music for it. If God gave this poem, and that's what it was at that time when he wrote it, if God gave this poem to this man, did he know that in 1861 he would supply a man in America that would put the music to it? We're talking about a poem that was written in England and the music was put to it in America. Did he know that? Well, of course he did. Because for more than a century now, Sweet Hour of Prayer, and I love the song, absolutely love the song, has been one of our most familiar and loved hymns, reminding us of the importance of daily communion with God. Daily communion with God. So prayer is not just a time when we decide what we're going to say and say it to God. It's a communion with God. And communion is not always verbal. Communion is not always vocal. Communion is not always allowed. It's not. Have you never been just sitting with someone and the conversation that's been going on, you could be silent for minutes and it was almost like you understood what that person was thinking about that or what you were thinking about that, but nothing was said in between. But you're communicating. When we go to God in prayer, we're communicating with God. We may tell Him with words what we're feeling, but we'll also tell Him with nothing at all. I do believe that there was a song written, a secular song that was written years ago, and if you'll excuse your pastor for listening to secular music, I'll tell you what the title of it was. You say it best when you say, I knew y'all knew that. You say it best when you say nothing at all. And sometimes it's best not to say anything, right? Yeah. It's right. So, and we'll get to that before this message is over, and you're going to know that it's important just to listen to what God has to say, and then you talk to Him and just commune with Him. The song reminds us of a basic truth that we have preached and taught for all of our lives. Whenever we spend time in communion with God, it becomes a sweet and meaningful hour of prayer. It becomes that. And you'll never forget the time that you spend with God in prayer. Someone wrote, don't know what his name was, it just says anonymous, there is no sweeter time than this, the hour we spend with Jesus to taste with Him eternal bliss. Now that might have to soak in a little bit, but don't let it soak too long. If you're a born-again child of God and you love Him and you know what He's done for you, what He's promised you, what He's created and made for you, just associate with Him in this prayer, this eternal bliss that He's got planned and prepared for all of His children. His children, His people. I love it, don't you? Now, let's see, because we're going to get this song together right here. I'm going to share it with you because I've got to bring that song into the scriptures. You got to know that this man never wrote this without any inspiration from God. He wrote it with a lot of inspiration from God. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a look at the three verses. Actually, there are four, but three in all the song books that I have. I don't know where, sometimes you don't know where that other verse came in because we've never sung it all of our lives. So these are the three verses that you're familiar with, and we're going to share those with you. Prayer is a time to get away from this world of care. And right now, this could not have meant any more to us than what it is right now. Because I went to Food City, and that's not a plug for Food City, by the way, Thursday and Friday. Don't know why I went in on Thursday. Yes, I do. I needed a banana. And I was looking for some good bananas because I was out and I have one every day. But I went in on Thursday and the place was flooded with people. I go back on Friday because that's the day they have their good deals. I went back on Friday and the place was flooded with people. And I asked the manager of the store, I said, I came in yesterday and it was filled. I came in today and it was filled. And he said, yes, we have had the busiest 2 days of this store's history since it opened. And they're looking for peanut butter, canned goods, and toilet paper. Now, I don't know why those three things came up, but that's what he said they were doing. It's like people are in a survival mode. Folks, the Lord didn't give us a spirit of fear. If you trust Him, If you trust him for your life and the lives of your loved ones, just use the common sense he gave you and say, thank you, God, for the common sense. Now I'm trusting you to take me through the rest of it. And folks, I got to believe that he will, because I love him, I know him, and he's my Lord and Savior. So it's a time for us to get away from this world of care that we're in. And I know the coronavirus is not your only concern, your only care. I look at the faces of my people when they come in the morning, and I can see that there's a deep burden sometimes on the faces of our people. There's a care that we don't know about, and I may be speaking directly to you. I would say that as I speak, I'm speaking to at least 80% of you, if not more, that there is a care on your heart right now, a burden on your heart that's heavy. And if I am, I want you to listen real carefully, because I'm going to take you to a time of sweet hour of prayer. Listen to this, if you will. Sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. In Hebrews 4:16, he says this, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Folks, we're in a time of need. It's worse in other places than here. And I'm not just speaking for us. I don't think our minds should be just about us. I think our minds should be for people in the far end of Tennessee, in the middle of Tennessee, the United States, in Oklahoma, Texas, in Arizona, Utah, California, Washington, Oregon, New York, New Jersey, Wisconsin, Minnesota. There are a lot of states. We better go to Florida, I guess. We'll go to Florida, too. All over the United States of America and all over the world. Folks are concerned. They're worried. There's a heaviness. There is a need for us to pray, oh God, please help their fearful souls and their hearts. This needs to be taken care of. Help us in a time of need. Do we have a need now? We certainly do. Coronavirus has created a need in the lives of a lot of people. And our need may just be today that we get rid of the fear that's driving this thing. And when I said, listen to Mayberry instead of the news, I'm serious about that. Get away from the news for a while. You're not going to get any information from the news that is medically induced. It's not going to happen. You're just going to hear more of the fear, because that's what drives their news programs. That's what pays their bills. Just watch Mayberry or something. Or don't watch anything at all. Maybe we need to get away from the TV, completely, and get alone in prayer with the Lord. But anyway, that's that verse of scripture. But I got to share a few more with you, because as I listen to you all during the week, every week, I hear things coming from you that reminds me that you know about the sweet hour of prayer, and we all know about it. It's just that we've put it on the back burner. We've put it in the closet, seemingly, for a while. We know that prayer is important. Because we say, would you pray for my cousin? Would you pray for my uncle? Would you pray for my grandmother, my grandfather? Would you pray for my children? Would you pray for my grandchildren? Those are concerns on our hearts. And we say, would you pray for these things? And we say, yes, we would. Sometimes we do. Sometimes we don't. And I believe it's because we don't think about the seriousness of prayer like we ought to. The Bible says in Luke chapter 18 verse 1, men always ought to pray. Men always ought to pray and not, and this is attached, this is like the mayonnaise for the tomato mayonnaise sandwich, and not lose heart. I have never in my life been in prayer to God and felt like that I have lost heart. Never. I may go to Him in prayer when I felt like I've lost heart in something, and I'm not saying that I'm above losing heart in something. I have in my life lost heart in things. But when I'm there, I go to Him in prayer. I cannot go to Him honestly in prayer and talk to Him and have a heart that feels like it has lost its way. I don't. And I don't believe you will either. So he says, men always ought to pray and not lose heart. And then, of course, we always remember Pam Williams when we read this. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. The Lord himself, when he needed to get away from the cares of this old world, he left the TV. He left all the cares behind and went into the desert alone with his Father. And I promise you that when you get alone with God the Father in heaven, of which he has given you an open door, you don't have to knock. The door is open for you to go on in. He says, I want you to come in, and because of my Son, you have the privilege of coming to the throne of grace in prayer. And I want you to do that today. I want you to know that the cares in your life can be taken care of if you'll just spend some time with Him. Now, if you're not in a spiritual position, let's say that you've been saved. You know that if you died today, you would go to heaven. But right now, your fellowship with God is not good. You're on a backslidden path, going backwards instead of forward. Take care of that today. You can take care of that. You can go to Him in prayer, and you can say, God, forgive me. Forgive me for being in a backslidden state. I need not be there. Forgive me and set me back right where I need to be. And He'll do that. But if you're lost, the only prayer you can pray is, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and take my sin and save me. That's it. It's all you have. You don't have any more. Wish I could give you more, but the Bible doesn't give you more. But when the Lord went into the desert, He went in to be alone with His Father. He went in to be alone with His Heavenly Father. And when you go to God in prayer, you go to God to be alone with Him in prayer. There should be nothing else to distract you from that sweet hour of prayer. That ought to be just between you and Him. I've never said to anybody who said, could I speak with you alone? Well, yeah, but don't you think we need a crowd? And the Lord says, don't you want to speak with me alone? You're not going to invite a crowd in when He wants to speak to you alone. And in prayer, He wants to speak to you alone. So when we go to God in prayer, that's a time to get away from the cares of this whole world. It's also a time to share your heart with Him. Listen to the second verse. Sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer. Thy wings shall my petition bear. Can you see it? Taking your petition to the Lord. To Him whose truth and righteousness engage the waiting souls to bless. And since He bids me seek His face, believe His word, and trust His grace. I'll cast on him my every care and wait for him, sweet hour of prayer. Are you getting where this writer was when he wrote this? He was talking to the Lord and he was willing to wait on the Lord to answer his prayer. He was talking to the Lord and didn't want to go away. He knew all the burdens and the cares that he had in his life were there. They had been there for some time, evidently. He wanted them to go away, and he wanted to know that there was a time. And he wanted me to know. That's why he wrote this. That's why God had him to write it. He wanted me to know that in this year in my life, and on this day in my life, that I too could listen to him and get answer to my prayers and get answer to my questions. Our hearts should be that the will of God will be done. That's our hearts. When I'm sharing my heart with him, I'm saying to him, Lord, you know my heart. This is where my heart is, but I want you to show me your will. I want what's on my heart to communicate and connect with your will. I want that to happen. I'm going to ask that no one move around, if you would, please. I don't want Satan to distract this message. I was given this message for all of us here today, and this message is so very important because I believe that prayer is the most needful thing that we have going on right now in our lives. And this is a time when we can get away from the cares of this whole world. This is a time when we can go to him and share our very hearts with him. But when we share our very hearts with him, we've got to understand that he wants us to know what his will is, and what we have, we want to make sure that what's on our hearts connects with his will. In John chapter 14, verse 13 and 14, and I'm sharing this with you because this message is heavy on my heart, and I don't know if I'm conveying it as heavy or not, but I pray that God will take what I'm saying and convey it heavy on your heart. Because during the week when I was going through the different scriptures and reading the different things that I read, I opened a little Bible that my wife carried for years, a little small Bible. Some of you have seen her with that. It was a pink in color, and it had a little snap on it. And Kay wasn't one to underline a lot of scriptures. She didn't highlight a lot of scriptures. But that little Bible was worn. It was worn. And I looked in it, and these two verses of scripture were underlined. And I'm thinking, nothing else has been underlined except these two verses. And I wonder why these two verses were underlined. They could have been underlined for this message today, not realizing what was going on at the time she underlined them. I believe they could have been underlined for today. So here's what she had underlined. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. So she's saying, speak your heart to him. Make sure your heart lines up with his will. Make sure, and then ask him for it, because he says if you'll ask, you'll get it. All you got to do is ask. So we need to share our hearts. Jesus said to the Father, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Did he understand that his Father's will was the most important thing in his life? He did. And I want us to know that the most important thing in our lives is the will of God. But when you have that personal heart need in your life, I'm saying to you, make sure it lines up with him, and then go to him face to face, whatever is weighing heavy on you. It doesn't make any difference how heavy you think it might be, or if somebody else thinks it's not so heavy. If it's on you, it's heavy. Amen? It is. And so whatever is heavy on your heart, you can take it to God, and you don't take it to him from his back. You take it to him face to face. He's looking at you. His ear is leaned towards you. He wants to hear what you've got to say. So take your heart's need to Him. In Psalm 73, here's what He says. In verse 25 and 26, He says, "Whom have I in heaven but Thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides Thee." This is the one you're going to. "My flesh and my heart faileth." Been there. I've been there. I've done that, haven't you? And today you may be at the place where your flesh and your heart is failing. You're heavy in your heart for something. "But God is the strength of my heart." Don't try to figure it out yourself. Go to Him. Spend the time with Him. You don't have to know what to say. You don't have to verbalize it at all. He already knows. He just wants you to come into His room. He just wants you to come in, close the door, get alone with Him, and speak to Him. He says, "But God is the strength of my heart and my portion, not just for today, but forever." So take your heart to Him, and He'll take care of you. But also, it doesn't make any difference whether it's a happy heart or a broken heart. I sometimes just go to Him and thank Him for what He's done that's made me happy in my daily life. I don't have to have a broken heart to go to Him in prayer. In fact, Proverbs, which is man's relationship with man instead of his relationship with God, here's what he says in that, and I'm going to share this with you if I can, if it's okay with you all. In Proverbs 17:22, he says this, "A merry heart doth good." Do you believe that? I don't know about you, but I love to have a merry heart. If you love to have a merry heart beyond your burden right now, smile. Can you? Of course you can. Of course you can. But if you let whatever's burdening your mind down right now stay there, you will be like that the rest of the day, maybe even into tomorrow, next week, and people around you are going to say, "I don't want to mess with you. You're a mess." Right? I see some of you smiling. You've been a mess before. Okay, I've been a mess before. So you pray for my mess and I'll pray for your mess. He says, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine." Like a medicine. Don't go to the drugstore. You don't need to go there. Just go to God and say, "God, my heart says I need a merry heart today. I need this burden lifted from me so that I can be." Well, then thank Him for the merry heart. But he says, "A broken spirit drieth the bones." That's why He doesn't want you to stay there. He doesn't want you to walk around with dried bones. Nobody wants to be an old dried up prune. I don't know where that came from, but nobody wants to be an old dried up. I want people to see me with a little moisture, not dried up, right? He says, "Happy or dried up, come to me and talk to me about what your problem is." I don't know about you, but that's good stuff. So we're going to have a time where we're going to share our hearts with Him. But then there's going to be a time to anticipate the day. Not today, but the day. Listen. "Sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer. May I Thy consolation bear." Share. "Till from Mount Pisgah's lofty height I view my home and take my flight. This robe of flesh I'll drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize and shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer. The thing that God has given us the right to do and the privilege to do. One day it won't be needed anymore, but we'll be with Him. Won't make any difference. We'll be with Him. It's a place, your prayer time is a place to think of the place God has provided for you. A holy, awesome God. The Bible says holy and awesome is His name. Yeah. He's the one who supplied this for you. The one who loved you so much that He gave His only begotten Son to die for you. So that if you would just believe, you could have everlasting life. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Lord, I lift Your name up high and holy above everything. Is prayer important? I'm not just talking about a minute or two where we have a dismissal prayer or a beginning prayer or a good night prayer or a good morning prayer. I'm talking about a getting alone with God and spending some time with Him, folks. That's what I'm talking about here. Time to think about meeting Jesus face to face. And then all the loved ones that have gone on before us. You want to see them, don't you? Those of all your loved ones who have gone on to be in heaven now, we're going in that direction. He says, Lord, I come to You in prayer because I'm coming home. I'm coming home, and I want You to remind me. When you go to God in prayer, be reminded that He has a place prepared for you in heaven. Just be reminded about that. Spend time in prayer with Him here on earth before we go to be with Him in heaven. Not going to have a congregational song today, but there is going to be a song. And what I'm going to ask you to do is close your eyes. And I don't want anyone looking around. Now, if you're lost today, I want to talk with you personally. And if you'll just let me know right after this service, I'll be glad to. But if the Holy Spirit drives you out of your seat, I want you to come forward. I'll speak with you this morning. But I want everyone to just close your eyes, think about absolutely nothing else except this prayer.
Thank you.
Amen.